This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. It is Saturday, November the 20th, 2021. We played a little bit more Led Zeppelin than usual, playing a Celebration Day because of what happened yesterday. We'll get that in a little bit. Walt, how are we doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, my friend. Doing pretty well. I've been busy all day. Still putting together my son's kitchen, him and I, and we got a lot done today, so I'm pooped.
Oh, well, anyways, hold tight for another 51 minutes, and then you can go to bed. Anyways, first order of business, as always, we want to remember the members of the law enforcement community that were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we want to remember Police Officer Michael Chandler of the Big Stone Gap, Virginia Police Department, end of watch, November 13th, 2021. His killer is alive and in custody. And we want to remember correction officers Rhonda Jean Russell of the Blair County Prison in Pennsylvania, probably the Blair County Department of Corrections or the Blair County, Pennsylvania Sheriff's Office, end of watch, November 17th, 2021. Her killer is in custody. Anyways, Walt, we had finally something went our way this year. Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty. What are you taking away on what happened with Rittenhouse?
Well, you know, like the entire world knows, that he was found not guilty of all the remaining charges because the judge had already dismissed the weapons possession charge. Over a week ago. So, you know, not guilty on the two counts of murder and not guilty on reckless endangerment of that news guy, McGinnis, that was following him around. And then not guilty on blowing half this other guy's arm off. So, it's something that, you know, we all knew once the basics of the truth came out, the basics of what actually happened came out. You know, it was day one, day two, where, you know, a lot of media was just saying, he grabbed an AR-15, came across state lines just to kill people, you know. You had the nominee at the point of President of the United States said he's a white supremacist. You got all these people saying all kinds of stupid nonsense about this, the incident, and calling the kid a vigilante and, a killer and a murderer, you know, and he was indicted 48 hours after, you know, the incident happened. This was just so wrong from the get-go when the story was released. 17-year-old kid, they had this guy. Well, it's a good thing we caught him now. Otherwise, he'd be murdering people for the next 60, 70 years of his life. You know, it's just ridiculous the way the people handle it. But anyways, anybody who watched any part of the trial, this is one trial that you didn't have to watch the entire thing. All you had to do is just watch that Binger guy, whatever his name was. He challenged Rittenhouse. When Rittenhouse took the stand, he challenged him. Why he was quiet. This is the first opportunity you've taken to tell your side of the story. And, you know, the judge put a foot in his ass because it's Rittenhouse is, it's every American's right not to say anything to anybody about what you might have done, what they're saying you did. So, you know, that was one thing. It really, really ticked the judge off. I believe at that point in the trial, I believe that the judge realized that this was going to be not guilty across the board. So he let the trial continue instead of calling a mistrial, which we would have had to, you know, go through all this all over again. So he saved the state, you know, millions of dollars of pursuing the second trial after a mistrial was declared. You know, and then the video footage, the prosecution just did absolutely a bad job. I mean, they didn't have a good case to begin with. Anytime they talked after Rittenhouse was off the stand, anytime they brought anything up, it was, well, we believe he's lying. Well, we believe he's lying, you know, when they were making motions to the judge. Right. Well, you know, you can say you believe it, but he really didn't. You know, he told you what he was doing there, and the video proved it. You know, he was there to help. He doesn't have to be an EMT. You don't have to be an EMT to offer first aid to anybody. You know, good Lord, if I get shot and there's nobody around and some kid comes up to me with an orange pack saying, you need medical, I'm going to say, you're damn right I do. Get over here. You know, put some pressure on this wound, you know. Give me some gauze. Give me, you know, maybe we'll have a bottle of Jack Daniels in that orange bag, too. You know, the whole trial was a farce.
Right.
It stemmed because of the riots, because of the George Floyd Young stupid nonsense. Now you got people, you know, ostracizing Rittenhouse, this young guy. He just turned 18. He's got his entire life ahead of him. I'm sure he's going to be picking top not lawyers in the country for a civil suit. And hell, I've said this once, I've said it a million times about, and you too, Scoop, regarding the immunity clause for public servants. You know, now Mr. Biden was not a public servant at the time he said this, that he's a white supremacist. You know, he's suable. You know, his executive privilege doesn't cover, you know, what he did before. So, you know, it's, you know, Mr. Biden personally. I'd have to. That's his constitutional right to do so. There was yesterday, day before yesterday, when the after the not guilty verdicts, Geraldo Rivera was on the five.
All that thought. We'll be right back. We can talk more about the Rittenhouse trial. Stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting warmed up.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine. the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Back. This is 75 Radio on the Living News Radio Network. We are live. We preempted our awesome bumper music and bumper intros for some celebration day by Led Zeppelin for the simple fact Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty. And I listened to the song and looked at the lyrics, and the old bad guy Robert Plant was singing about that can be Joy Reid, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But anyways, I also forgot to mention and say hello to Little Billy Keeler and the brave men and women of the Yonadosa, New York Fire Department in Yonadosa, New York. Congratulations on purchasing your brand new fire engine, a 1997 American LaFrance pumper. But anyways, back to Kenosha. The district attorney in Kenosha County was out for blood. He or she's elected official, so they put the crack assistant district attorney on the case named Thomas Binger. Now, Binger tried to sway the jury with his legal expertise, including his Millennium Falcon lapel pin. This guy has some weird lapel pins on his jacket, including the Millennium Falcon. I guess he wanted to get the case tried in less than 12 parsecs. But anyways, the case fell apart when one of the so-called victims of Rittenhouse named Gage Grossenkreutz took the stand to seal the deal on Rittenhouse. While on the stand, Mr. Grossenkreutz said that after he pointed his Glock pistol at Rittenhouse, he was shot by Rittenhouse. Now, during the trial, Binger was also admonished more than once by the judge, including Binger ridiculing Rittenhouse for invoking its Fifth Amendment right that was written in the Constitution for over 200 years ago. Anyways, the judge, Bruce Schroeder, told Binger, "Don't get brazen with me." But anyways, what really shocked me was that Mr. Binger is a firearms expert, to say the least. They first charged Rittenhouse for bringing a short rifle across state lines, and it turns out his AR-15 was a long rifle. And then Mr. Binger displayed the AR-15, and he put his finger on the trigger. Now, there's no magazine, but the bolt was closed, so I don't know if there's a round chambered in that weapon or not. And he's waiting around in a crowded courtroom with this weapon. Now, anybody knows anything firearms that you don't point it to anybody, number one. Number two, you don't put your hand anywhere near the trigger unless you're about to pull the trigger. And you don't point it at anybody because you're supposed to assume that the firearm is loaded. So anyways, I was frightened and shocked and surprised, and I wasn't even in the courtroom. I was here in D.C. But anyways, we said that Rittenhouse acted in self-defense over a year ago, and we said he was a hero. If you go on our website, 75radio.org, you'll see that in September of 2020, we said this. And we had a great video from Brother Nathaniel Kapner that showed what Rittenhouse was doing in Kenosha. But anyways, it was an absolute circus in Kenosha, Wisconsin. First, you had Black Lives Matter protesting outside the courthouse. And I don't know why they were there, because everybody that Rittenhouse shot happened to be white. Rittenhouse himself is white. But then the mainstream media said that here Rittenhouse is a white supremacist. Well, if that was the case, how come all his victims were white? And then you had the MSNBC banned from the Kenosha County Courthouse because a freelance reporter was following a van full of jurors from the courthouse. Luckily, the producer, freelance producer, ran a red light and was pulled over by the police, and the police notified the court. You know, and MSNBC wanted to get these jurors' faces out there, wanted to get their addresses, wanted to get the information known so they can be intimidated by Black Lives Matter and the street garbage and then throw the case. But luckily, the local police in Kenosha County acted appropriately and was able to stop this. So anyways, then when the verdict came out, Joy Reid and MSNBC was having an absolute meltdown, and it was just the absolute craziest thing, because all these leftist, America-hating, phony pundits were talking about black people's rights, and it's just another travesty, and it's all about black people. And again, Kyle Rittenhouse shot white people in self-defense. Now, if you watch the tape, there's a black gentleman that came up and attacked Rittenhouse, but he was not shot, fortunately for him. But the mainstream media, especially Joy Reid and MSNBC, just lost their effing minds. The last night when verdict came out, Joy Reid was in a hotel somewhere, and she took a vacation day, but she had to go back on her own show to talk about this. And they had a group of black people, including that guy who thinks he's a Roman Israel, the character from a Denzel Washington movie, his big white fro, when he looks ridiculous, looks like a clown. So all these black people were talking about the Rittenhouse verdict and how it's a travesty for black people, and Kyle Rittenhouse is nothing but a slave owner. And I'm shaking my head. It's like all these people on Joy Reid's show, all black, number one. And number two, they live far, far away from low-income, dangerous black people in the ghetto. So that just really shook my head. And, I don't know what Joy Reid has against this boy other than, he doesn't look like Mr. Ed's love child. If you go on her website, she talked about white tears or white male tears, how it helped people like Rittenhouse and Brett Kavanaugh. And she was on TikTok and she had the phone or computer up close, and she is just a hot mess. I'm no prize myself, but good God almighty, she's just terrible to look at. And she's always changing her hairstyle. I think she has a receding hairline. I don't think she's a man. No evidence of support says she's a man, because if you just look at the tweets and things she said about homosexuals, definitely not a man. But anyways, just this horrendous looking person saying horrendous things about this kid defending himself. But hopefully he gets the same lawyer as Nick Sandman and sues the hell out of everybody. I'm talking everybody, especially Joy Reid and MSNBC. But another thing I noticed while I was watching MSNBC and just actually having the time of my life, because it is like watching a Good Sopranos episode, because it's just so entertaining. Somebody asked in this panel of losers, of rich black losers, well, why is it that black people are so obsessed with this Rittenhouse story? And another black person who's made millions as a race pimp said, well, because black people look out for people of other races. And I just laughed my ass off because we know for a fact they don't. Black people don't even help other black people. I mean, why do you think the hood's so dangerous? Because black people are shooting each other. When black people become successful, either through becoming an athlete, an entertainer, a business person, what have you, guess what? They move out of the hood and they don't come back because they know if they come back, they're going to get shot, people can get jealous, and this, that, and another thing. Look at Nipsey Hussle. Not Nipsey Russell, but Nipsey Hussle. He tried to help the black community, and he was shot and killed. But anyways, as usual, it was a total circus. MSNBC and CNN and all of these other left-wing propaganda machines were looking to convict this poor kid. And to be honest, if you watch the video again, 17-year-old kid, that kid knew how to handle a rifle, number one. He knew how to take a tactical position when he got attacked. He did not lose that rifle, and he should be commended. And whoever taught him how to use firearms also should be commended, because there's cops in the street that get their weapon taken away for half the punishment that he took. But anyways, I hear the music coming up. When we come back, we'll talk about a trial in Georgia and other things. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Protests in several American cities following the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal yesterday in his double homicide trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. At least 5 arrests made in New York City. Other protests broke out in Philadelphia, Portland, Oregon, and some other cities as well. Meanwhile, Rittenhouse himself spoke publicly to Fox News after his acquittal.
The jury reached the correct verdict. Self-defense is not illegal.
Rittenhouse acquitted of all counts on Friday for fatally shooting 2 men and wounding a third. Meanwhile, a Georgia judge has denied a defense motion for a mistrial in the Ahmaud Arbery murder case. That's the case in which a 25-year-old black man was fatally shot, 3 men facing charges, a lawyer for one of them saying that a mistrial is warranted because black pastors outside the courthouse were influencing the jury. And this is USA Radio News.
Folks, you know how cancel culture has affected Mike Lindell. Well, MyPillow may have gotten canceled out of retail stores, but you can save big just in time for Christmas at MyPillow.com. The classic standard size MyPillow that sold in stores for almost $70 is on sale for Christmas for just $19.98. Standard size, $19.98. Queen and king size slightly higher, but only if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, get a MyPillow for that special person in your life. You also get a free press and pack bag so you can take your MyPillow anywhere. Save big on anything on the MyPillow website, but only if you use my promo code USA. Support Mike Lindell and American Jobs. Get the best price ever on a MyPillow and do your Christmas shopping at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175. Merry Christmas.
Stop me if you've heard this before, but it's the busiest travel week coming up of the... Well, okay, you've heard it before, but it is a very busy travel week with Thanksgiving coming up Thursday, and some stormy weather is expected to affect a lot of people's travels. In the Midwest and later the upper Northeast, there will be heavy rain and high winds. Starting off the week, the conditions could cause air travel delays, just as tens of thousands of people across the nation are starting to head out for Thanksgiving. Travelers are advised to keep an eye on their airline's webpage to check for any possible flight delays. The IRS says almost all of the money it has seized through their criminal investigations unit over the past fiscal year was cryptocurrency, the unit recovering $3.5 billion in crypto over the fiscal year. That amounts to 93% of all its overall seizures. The Bureau is saying it expects it'll seize even more crypto next year. And this is USA Radio News.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
We are back, 7-5 Radio on Libby News Radio Network. Check us out, 75radio.org. 75radio.org. While we're celebrating the Rittenhouse trial, there's also another trial going on in Georgia. You've been watching this a lot closer than I have. Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, I've been watching this Aubrey murder trial a little bit hit and miss. Same thing with the Rittenhouse trial. The trial is clear and concise. Again, videotape involved in it heavily. The defendant, the son, has taken the witness stand in his own defense. The defense called him as their first witness. And it's like just the opposite of the Rittenhouse trial. Turns out he's more of a witness for the prosecution than for his own defense. The Binger guy from the Rittenhouse trial, you know, he said it, and it's obvious that you can't claim self-defense if, you start the fight. And I think this guy's goose is cooked, because he's the one that brought the gun and put himself in a position where he had to pull the trigger, if that makes sense. He wasn't being chased. He was doing the chasing. He was chasing Aubrey down the street. Now, regardless if the guy was taking stuff out of new buildings, because the new housing developments and stuff and new houses are being built. Regardless if he was doing that, I mean, you just don't chase somebody down with a shotgun and say, like Gomer Pyle said, citizens arrest, citizens arrest. you just can't do that in the world. They brought a witness after this guy, the defendant, stepped down after he got destroyed under cross-examination by the district attorney. They brought a female lady. She's probably in her 50s, lived in the area since 1975, didn't know the defendants, from Shinola. So she really couldn't say anything, about it. All she could say was, what she saw on Facebook and, what she might have said on Facebook. And then the cross came, and instead of the first chair of the prosecution's office, they sent this young attorney, young DA, a black girl, and she asked the witness two questions. The first question was, have you ever been, a victim of a crime? And the lady said, yeah, but not more than 30 years. And, she didn't bring up what the crime was. And then she asked her, do you think that the stealing should warrant a death penalty? Boy, the judge dug into that one, man. So did the defense. It seemed like the Rittenhouse trial got boring, Thursday. This thing with the with this young attorney asking the question really grounds for a mistrial. You don't do stupid things when you win it. And I saw it in both trials. The defense didn't do a stupid thing in the Rittenhouse trial. The prosecution was doing the stupid things. Now it's right. The defense doing stupid things on the other side, in this other trial. And the judge, this was in front of the jury. So they released for lunch, and when they come back, the judge decided that he was going to verbally admonish this young attorney, and which he did. And then, of course, he had to explain to the
the jury, you know, what transpired and what occurred. However, I think even though these three guys that are on trial, you know, for whichever charges they're going to be that they're being tried for, their goose is cooked, I believe.
Right.
But grounds for the mistrial because of that one question of do you think stealing is, you know, warrants the death penalty? It kind of like Chris Darden making OJ put the gloves on, you know, right. It didn't work, you know? So I think that, this trial in Brunswick, Georgia is tainted. They got grounds for, you know, a mistrial. They also have grounds for appeal also because of that. But I think their goose is cooked. I think their goose is cooked. The father, you know, was a cop for 30 years down there, or sheriff's deputy for 30 years. And the first thing out of his son's mouth when his son shot that Aubrey fella, you know, you had no choice. You had to shoot him. I just don't understand why people are going and grabbing guns, shotguns, AR-15s in the other case and such. I mean, they're blaming Aubrey for not turning right and running through the woods, but turning left across the front of the pickup truck that they were driving in and grabbing the guy's gun. Self-defense classes will tell you, if you're close enough to grab the gun, you grab it, you know, and try to control it. And the fella just, the shooter just pulled the gun back. And as he pulled it back, he pulled the trigger, you know, boom, you know, see ya, you know, hate to be ya. And that was that. The entire case rests on that stupid thing that he did. He chased the guy down with a shotgun and put himself in a position where he felt he had to use it. So he's claiming self-defense, and it's like the direct opposite of Rittenhouse. That's my personal view on it. But I think their goose is a cooked.
Right. I mean, the guy, say Aubrey was casing the houses. Guess what? I mean, it's taking property. It's not, you're not jeopardizing anybody's life. He's just casing. We don't know if he's casing houses, but let's say he did. Let's play devil's advocate. Say he was casing houses. Yeah, you know, this house got a lot of copper, copper piping, a lot of wiring, a lot of, you know, good stuff. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Call 911. Yeah, you got a guy in this house. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, you want to, you know, we want to defend these guys down in Georgia. You know, we are obviously Second Amendment supporters, but there's nothing there. But hope, you know, but for the DA to open her big fat mouth, I mean, she must have been watching the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I was like, oh, let me try this dumb thing, see if that
you
works.
Know, the whole thing stems around, like you said, you know, he was walking in and out of houses that were in the middle of construction. And, you know, whether or not he was stealing stuff or not, you know, it hasn't come out that, you know, he was or he wasn't. But that day that he was shot and, you know, chased down, he didn't have any stolen property on him. Besides the fact that the properties didn't belong to the men that were chasing him. You know, it's not like... It was a construction site. You know, somebody may have bought the land and, you know, having a contract to build the house. So it's like, you know, somebody broke into my house and they chased him down. You know, they don't have a dog in the race. It's got nothing to do with them.
Right.
As far as protecting, right, you know, somebody else's stuff. I believe in this case, I believe that they chased him down because, he was black and he was suspected of stealing stuff. Now, there was an incident a week earlier, 10 days earlier, that happened with the same, you know, Aubrey and the same people. It's just kind of fugazi. It's foggy on how everything just fell into place. And now there's a murder trial going on. Like I said, I said it three times already. Their gooses are cooked unless they can, right, you know, get a mistrial. But it doesn't matter. You know, a new trial is going to find them guilty anyway, I think. You know,
right.
He did it. They all did it. They were all involved. There's no denying it.
Yep. And when we come back, we'll talk about hot conservative women. My favorite subject. But anyways, check us out, 75radio.org. 75radio.org. Stay tuned, everybody.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Hey, we are back on the fastest hour in talk radio, 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. But anyways, our final story, a coworker of mine at my other job says, God don't like ugly. And I thought about it for a minute, and I was like, you know what, you're right. What I'm talking about is that a lot of these leftist, pinko, America-hating, commie women that support, watch MSNBC and support Joe Biden and Barack Obama, they're just butt ugly. Perfect example, Joy Reid. But then on our side, the conservative side, where people love God, love America, love guns, love our military, love our police, love big, strong men, women are smoking hot. And I'm not just talking about the women on the Fox News channel, because it seems like if you want to be, if you're a female and you want to get on the Fox News channel, you better be a nine or better. But I'm just talking about your run-of-the-mill conservative female at different events I've got to. CPAC, the Glenn Youngkin Victory Rally at in Northern Virginia, secret conservative meetup in here in Northern Virginia, in the middle of communist Northern Virginia, and other political rallies. It's amazing how many of these women are just absolutely stunning. They know how to push away from the dinner table, unlike yours truly. They can dress sexy but not slutty. They dress up feminine. They do their hair. They put on makeup, and they're just gorgeous women, and just everywhere. But anyways, so what I've done, I've actually started a Facebook group called Hot Conservative Women, and you just go on the Hot Conservative Women and ask them to come on, because I screen everybody. And I've been putting on pictures of famous conservative women. Now, I'm not going to go on my Facebook or whatever and just pull your random people. If your wife or girlfriend, or, you know, the few ladies that we do have listening to us, you want to put your picture on, you know, go ahead and do that. But just notice that just conservative women are just smoking hot. And I've seen liberal women, because I live here in Washington, D.C., and I've seen them in mass. Back in 2017, January, we had the Women's March, which I called the Pig March, because the women had all these little pink hats, supposed to be cat ears, but I call them pig hats because the people under those hats were just absolute pigs. They were fat, ugly. Their hair was close cropped, like parts of the side, like a man. Some of them had sideburns. Just kidding. They just dressed frumpy. Wear like whatchamacallit, Wrangler jeans, like a black concert T-shirt, work boots, and just a hot mess. And I was like, God Almighty, this is actually disgusting. Meanwhile, I go to like a CPAC convention or some local, just a local candidate running for delegate, and just like, oh my God, these women are smoking hot. But anyways, check us out, Hot Conservative Women on Facebook. I kept it simple, and I've been posting about one a day, but, you know, I'd love to have more. What's the you about in Hot Conservative Women versus Ugly Liberal Women?
It sounds like you're like 17 and you're found out there's such a thing called a MILF, and you're just going crazy with it. You know, you got an extra box. You got an extra box of tissues next to your bed now. What? What's going on, man? What does Mrs. Stanton say about the hot conservatives?
Is
she going to put her picture
I'm
up?
I'm not even going to put. I don't even talk about Mrs. Stan. We're going through some stuff I'm going to keep private, but I'm just, you know, because if you turn on the TV hear me out. You turn on the TV and they get like, what's the name? Who's that dumb bimbo from Who's the Boss? I forgot her name. The one always saying stupid stuff. Yeah.
Samantha.
Yeah, to play Tony Danza's daughter. But anyways, you get all these A-list Hollywood celebrities. They look good, but they have about double-digit IQ. And, you know, they're all about women's rights, except when they want to become famous in movies. So they let Harvey Weinstein do their thing. But, oh, Alyssa Milano. You know, she's always talking about something, but you know, the media will show them, but won't show, you know, the typical liberal woman up close and personal. Living here in the district, I've seen the typical liberal woman up close and personal, and it's just a sight to be seen. But I just want to put it out there. It's like, hey, you know, if you're hot, you know, you want to join the Conservative Party because it's not with just hot women. I mean, just it is what it is. I mean, just for example, look at Dani Edwards. She was a model before she met James, and you know, and still a good looking woman. My wife, she was a Republican for years. She was a good looking woman until she just got ugly. But again, God does not like ugly. But anyways, check it out on Facebook, Hot Conservative Women. They kept it simple, and we got a couple bunch of MILFs there. But anyways, finally, Charles County, Maryland. This came up on the local radar. A camera company has agreed with the Charles County, Maryland Sheriff's Office to put cameras on buses, so that people that drive by these buses while they're picking up or dropping off kids will eventually get a $275 fine. And right now the camera company is not charging Charles County, Maryland any money, but they will get some of the profits from the $275 fine. Now, to me, this is nothing more than sticking it to the taxpayers. Because with the speed cameras, the red light cameras, it's not about safety. It's just about raising revenue. So I could see like $50, $100, but $275 for passing that school bus. I mean, you shouldn't do it in the first place, but it's just a money-making scheme. And they'll say safety till the cows come home. Oh, it's for the kids. It's for the safety of the children. Then why doesn't the camera company do it for free and forgo the $275? Or better yet, put points on the operator's license instead of $275. So it's just another way to shake down the motorists because, again, these governments can't spend your money fast enough. Walt, what say you about cameras on school buses and just cameras in general?
Yeah, I'm good with cameras on the school buses. You know, some of those school buses are war zones on wheels.
Right. No, they're on the outside.
They're on the outside watching the drivers and stuff around. Yeah, well, that's the same thing. Same thing. That's a good idea. I think it's okay. People should know freaking better. You know, you can't pass a school bus,
Right, but $275?
Yeah.
What
kind of a price can you put on a kid that gets hit by a freaking car that doesn't pay attention to what's going on around him? You know, so.
Right, but $275, I mean, that's just way – it's just being ridiculous. And, you know, I say don't look for anybody – as far as I know, in Charles County, it's not a major thing where people pass the school buses all the time and kids getting hit. I've yet to hear anything, but just, you know, $275. And then the camera company, they're just taking a piece of the action. Just like in D.C., they got these speed cameras everywhere. And yeah. I got a speed camera ticket one time, and I said, well, okay, fine. You gave me this camera, says I was doing, 10, 15 miles over the posted speed limit. Okay, well, when was the last time this camera's been calibrated?
Calibrated,
on a camera.
Well, on the school buses, maybe not cameras so much, but what else are you going to do? You're going to put like railroad track crossing arms that come down off the side of the bus to block the lanes from going, coming and going. You know what I mean? A barricade coming down. Who knows? I know if my kid got hit and could have been, could have been saved, by a camera or some type of barrier or something, getting off a school bus. I wouldn't be able to vote on it because I'd be in prison because I had to kill the guy that ran the school bus and hit my kid, But safety first, when it comes to that.
Right. But anyways, we're already at the end. But all right, check us out, 75radio.org, 75radio.org. We're also on Facebook, V75/75radio. And check us on Facebook at Hot Conservative Women. For Walter Yerke, this is Peter Scoop Stanton reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.
Okay.